Eternal altar, wouldst thou indeed this night a god for sacrifice? Now then I come, and coming, I offer up my passion and my pain. Lo, there's the dancer, carved out of our ancient eagerness, and the singer is crying mine own songs unto the wind. And in that dancing and in that singing, a god is slain within me. My god heart within my human ribs shouts to my god heart in midair. The human pit that wearied me calls to divinity. The beauty that we have sought from the beginning calls unto divinity. I heed, and I have measured a call, and now I yield. Beauty is a path that leads to self, self slain. Beat your strings, I will walk the path. It stretches ever to another dawn. Third God. Love triumphs. The white and green of love beside a lake, and the proud majesty of love in tower or balcony. Love in a garden or in the desert untrodden. Love is our Lord and Master. It is not a wanton decay of the flesh, nor the crumbling of desire, when desire and self are wrestling, nor is it flesh that takes arms against the spirit. Love rebels not. It only leaves the trodden way of ancient destinies for the sacred grove, to sing and dance its secret to eternity. Love is youth with chains broken, manhood made free from the sod, and womanhood warmed by the flame and shining with the light of heaven, deeper than our heaven. Love is a distant laughter in the spirit. It is a wild assault that hushes you to your awakening. It is a new dawn unto the earth, a day not yet achieved in your eyes or mine, but already achieved in its own greater heart. Brothers, my brothers, the bride comes from the heart of dawn and the bridegroom from the sunset. There is a wedding in the valley, a day too vast for recording. Now I will rise and strip me of time and space, and I will dance in that field untrodden, and the dancer's feet will move with my feet, and I will sing in that higher air, and a human voice will throb within my voice. We gods shall pass into the twilight, perchance to wake to the dawn of another world, but love shall stay, and its finger marks shall not be erased. The blessed forge burns, the sparks rise, and each spark is a sun. Better it is for us, and wiser to seek a shadowed nook and sleep in our earth divinity. And let love, human and frail, command the coming day. My soul is my friend. A poet's voice speaks. My soul is my friend, who consoles me in the misery and distress of life. Those who do not befriend their soul are enemies of humanity, and those who do not find human guidance within themselves will perish desperately. Life emerges from within and derives not from environs. I came to say a word, and I shall say it now. But if death prevents its uttering, it will be said by tomorrow, for tomorrow never leaves a secret in the book of eternity. I came to live in the glory of love and the light of beauty, which are the reflections of God. I am here living, and the people are unable to exile me from the domain of life, for they know I will live in death. If they pluck out my eyes, I will hearken to the murmurs of love and the songs of beauty. If they close my ears, I will enjoy the touch of the breeze, mixed with the incense of love and the fragrance of beauty. If they place me in a vacuum, I will live together with my soul, the child of love and beauty. I came here to be for all and with all, and what I do today in my solitude will be echoed by tomorrow to the people. What I say now with one heart will be said tomorrow by many hearts. Staying and going. My house says to me, do not leave me, for here dwells your past. And the road says to me, come and follow me, for I am your future. And I say to both my house and the road, I have no past, nor have I a future. If I stay here, there's a going in my staying, and if I go, there's a staying in my going. Only love and death will change all things. My longing shall gather a little while, and my longing shall gather dust and foam for another body. A little while, a moment of rest upon the wind, and another woman shall bear me. Farewell to you, and the youth I have spent with you. It was but yesterday we met in a dream. You have sung to me in my aloneness, and I, of your longings, have built a tower in the sky. About the author. Dates from the life of Gibran Khalil Gibran, K-H-A-L-I-L, the author's full Arabic name, which due to a registration spelling mistake at his first school in the United States, was changed from the usual spelling to Khalil, K-A-H-L-I-L. 1883. Born in Abshari, a village in the north of Lebanon. 1895. Gibran's mother immigrates to Boston with her four children, hoping to flee poverty and unhappiness, while her husband remains in Lebanon, imprisoned for embezzling from the government. 1898. Returns to Lebanon to study Arabic and French at a Maronite-run preparatory school in Beirut. By some accounts, his mother wants to remove him from unsavory artistic influences in Boston. 1902. Returns to Boston. In 15 months' time, he loses his mother, sister, and half-brother to tuberculosis. 1904. Through photographer Fred Holland Day, he meets Mary Haskell, a school headmistress who becomes his patron, muse, editor, and possible lover, publishes several poems in prose, gathered later under the title A Tear and a Smile. 1908 to 1910. Funded by Mary, he attends art school in Paris. 1911. Settles in New York, where he starts an intimate correspondence with May Zieda, a Lebanese intellectual living in Cairo. 1918. The Madman, Gibran's first book written in English, is published. 1920. Together with other Arab and Lebanese writers and poets living in the United States, he founds a literary society called Arabita al-Kalamiya, the Pen Bond. 1923. The Prophet is published, with immediate success. He begins a friendship with Barbara Young, who later becomes his new muse and editor. 1928. Jesus, the Son of Man, is published. 1931. Dies in a hospital in New York at the age of 48 due to cirrhosis of the liver. As was his wish, Gibran's body is transferred in 1932 to Lebanon and is buried in his native town of Abshari. An old monastery is purchased, which becomes a museum to his memory. These bare facts belie the complexity and turbulence of Khalil Gibran's life, both inner and outer. As one of his biographers, Suhail Bushouri, writes, "The more that has been written about Gibran, the more elusive the man himself has tended to become, as critics, friends, and biographers have built up a variety of unconnected pictures. Gibran himself is partly to blame. He wrote very little about his own life, and in recurrent moments of insecurity and vagueness, particularly during his first years of recognition, often fabricated or embellished his humble origins and troubled background. This self-perpetuation of his myth, a tendency followed by other literary figures such as Yeats and Swift, was not intellectual dishonesty, but a manifestation of the poetic mind's desire to create its own mythology." Bushruri, 1998. A good online biography can be found at the website of the Gibran National Committee, www.gibranKhalilGibran.org. As Bushruri notes, the many biographies and biographical studies of Gibran do not agree on many points. They're very much like the different voices presented in Gibran's book, Jesus, the Son of Man, each reporting various facets of a person who embraced both the highs and lows, the lights and shadows of a fully human life. This concludes the reading of Khalil Gibran's Little Book of Love, compiled by Neil Douglas Klotz. Copyright 2018 by Neil Douglas Klotz. This book was read by Kevin Kennerly. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Hampton Roads Publishing and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording, nor any portion of it, may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.